Welcome to Zion Impact Ministries, the local assembly of the Kingdom Community of Believers. As you listen to this message, we pray that God establishes the governing influence of Christ Jesus in your life through fellowship and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 5, and the Bible says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Spirit of the living God, we are grateful for your presence in Zion. We are grateful that we find ourselves privileged to be in Zion. We are grateful for the Spirit of the living God that guides us, that floods our hearts with love, that teaches us how to revere you and the Trinity. Spirit of the living God, we pray in the name of Jesus that these words, as they come to us, will transform us. It will draw us closer to you. It will cause us to look like you. It will cause us to become like you. It's to cause us to walk like you. Because we understand that you are in us. Spirit of the living God, we pray that you draw us closer to you. And we pray that these words will truly transform us. Because that's what your light is. Spirit of the living God, let the words of our mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Cause us to love you more. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can take your seats and give a clap offering to the Master.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 By God's mercy, we have been learning about the renewal from the place of love and from the place of the fear of the Lord. And by God's mercy, Reverend Ella took us through a very powerful two-day packed session of growth in the fear of God. Hallelujah. And I'm praying, it's my heart desire that we as a church will become avid listeners of the word of God, avid listeners of scripture, of sermons, that will be intentional about listening to sermons. Hallelujah. And I pray, I believe strongly that we'll get there. We'll get there. Small, small. Right? Small, small. By God's mercy, today we are going to be tackling the section of love, even though we love, the love that we have for God comes as a result of our reverence for God. The love that we have for Him, it comes as a result of our fear for Him. Hallelujah. So today we are going to title this sermon, The Writings of Love on the Canvas of Our Hearts by the Fear of God. You see here, Mrs. Nikwe is covering her face. The Writings of Love on the Canvas of Our Hearts by the Fear of God. Hallelujah. And I believe strongly that this thing will draw us closer to God. This week, I don't know if you remember, but I mentioned at the altar that we will be tested. Some will be tested this week. How many of us receive a form of test in the week? Some get me like that. Almost started. Oh, my Lord and my God. I believe strongly that all of us received a fair share of testing this week, as I mentioned earlier on this anointed altar. By divine inspiration, I told us that this week, we should be careful because we will be tested. Hallelujah. I don't know if you remember that. I said it. Yeah. And I know that we, and I pray that we all passed the test. Hallelujah. Karen, did you pass? You passed plenty. You passed rough. Hallelujah. And as I was standing, I was saying it, I even remembered my own. And me too, I was tested this week. So I started, I'm working on a project with someone. And I'm very particular about certain things. And when I was doing the, I was preparing the document, I prepared a whole deck. I didn't sleep and I presented it to the guy. And when the guy looked at it, he said he didn't like it. And what was coming out of my heart, when rather to go and find a way to improve it, what my response was that, it was pride. Like, you know the amount of work I put into it. You are telling me that you don't like what I've done. Do you know the amount of time I stayed up to make sure that this thing I will do it the way like it? Do you know the amount of research I've done to present this and you say you don't like it? I started seeing that my immediate response was that I was getting upset. But what I needed to do was to find out how best I can improve it so that I can make the client happy. I understand what I'm saying. So that was, I believe strongly, that was a test of mine. And it showed this thing is my heart. I always say, when I'm preaching, I like to give examples of me myself. That's to make you know that don't ever see me and think that, oh, or see any man of God and think that they are full of perfection. Lie. And I believe strongly that every word that God gives to us for his people is for us first. We the men of God. And then, yeah. Every word of God that comes is for us first, is to transform us first. Hallelujah. So I began to study on the love of God. I began to reduce it small for me. Thank you. I began to study on the state of my heart. Hallelujah. I began to study on the state of my heart. And the first scripture that I mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and the Bible said that you shall love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart. All of what? Your soul. And with all of your spirit. Reverend Allah told us last week that the fear of the Lord is the means to everything in the kingdom. Right? That the fear of the Lord is the means to everything in the kingdom. So as a result of the fear of the Lord that grows in our hearts, or as a result of the caution of the fear of God, it causes us to do certain things that on our own, naturally, we will not do. So because of the fear of the Lord, it will cause us to love. Because of the fear of the Lord, it will cause us to obey. Because of the fear of the Lord, it will cause us to follow certain principles of the kingdom that will draw us closer to God. Hallelujah. I began to ask myself, Father, this heart, help me. Oh yeah. I started praying and asking for Father, help me. And I started doing a study about the heart. And we'll share what it means. We'll share this in this particular teaching. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 9 to 10. And when I look at this scripture, it reminded me that I will be held accountable for every deed that I do on earth. So the scripture teaches us that therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may what? Can we read it together? Just verse 10. Incidentally, let's do just verse 10. Verse 10 says that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good. Let's look at this in the AMP. Let's look at this AMP. And scripture says, for we believers, heirs of the kingdom, will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of God, so that each one may, you can continue, may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each one will be held responsible for his actions, purpose, and goals. What that actually means that, let's break it down, everything that we do on earth, will be held accountable. Oh, I thought it's finished. Mr. Denton, can we put all the 10 AMP? Let's read all the 10. I thought it's finished. He said, it's long. Okay, it's fine, it's fine. Let's start again together. Let's read it slowly. For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time. He says, let's even stop here. Did you know that you'll be held accountable for the time that you misused? Cobra Samba. Leroy, the scripture is teaching us that he said the use or the misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. That means everything that we do on earth will be held accountable for it. The Bible said we will be held accountable for our deeds, whether good or bad. NKJV. Motives, the use or misuse of his time, the opportunities that he has given to us, and abilities, the things that God has given to you to use. So, if, for instance, if you are a soccer player and you don't use the soccer player well, you'll be held accountable for it. People feel, when you look at this, you think that they are talking about abilities, maybe singing in church and all those things are good. But they are talking about the other things in your life that God has given to you to be accountable for, Mrs. T. I'm telling you something truthful. When I was even studying, I didn't even see this trial. I didn't even read which year. I stopped somewhere. It's the Spirit. But Karen, the scripture is teaching us here that for the motives, the use or the misuse of his time, opportunities, and that we'll be held accountable for, all of us will stand before God. And that's what the scripture is teaching us. That when all the earth is over, when as we are on earth, our time is up, maybe we die. When we stand before the Lord, we'll be held accountable for every opportunity that he gave to us that we didn't do well. We'll be held accountable for every work that he asked us to do that we did not do. Every ability that he gave to us that we must use to advance the kingdom of God, we'll be held accountable for it. And reading the scripture, I'm even getting goosebumps. It makes me afraid. It should make us all afraid. That we'll be held accountable for every opportunity that was given to us that we did not take advantage of. Let's see. Because of that, oh my Lord, it's making me even more intentional of doing the things that I've been asked to do. More intentional about doing the things that he has asked. Motives, the use and the misuse of his time, opportunities and the abilities. And I've come to understand that as a result of where our heart is, it can guide us to be able to fulfill the opportunities, abilities, and the things God has asked us to do on it. Where our heart is. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why I give that very interesting topic. It's the writings of love on the canvas of our hearts. And I'm going to show you in scripture that your heart is like a canvas. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. And the Bible says that the heart, naturally, the heart, this heart, naturally is deceitful. Naturally, the heart is full of deception. It's full of, let's break the deception down. It's full of what? Lies. Synonyms, let's go. Wickedness. Deception, no, I'm talking about deception. Confusion. It's full of dishonesty, misleadings, pardon me, abomination, yes, cheating, manipulation, fraud, natural manipulation. Hey, Evan, this manipulation, how you are pressing the, hey. And I've come to understand that naturally, for most people who have not given their lives to Christ, you see a lot of these traits that we've mentioned at play easily in their lives. Trickery, you see plenty. And as I'm saying this, I remember a story of when I was driving, and someone did something to him. I think he insulted him or something. Maybe he insulted. I don't know what kind of insult it was. And because he insulted him, the guy ran like they were about to engage in a fist fight. So I think he threw one blow. The guy blowed him, and the thing pained him. So he didn't want to continue the fight. So what he did, he ran. He was looking for a log, one of those big trees, to lift it and hit his head. So he was looking, and nobody could calm him down. I understand what I'm saying. Naturally, he did. I believe this person, he hasn't met God yet. Or he hasn't received a renewal of mind in that regard. So the guy was running, right? And they were saying, stop, stop. And he didn't stop. It stopped. He ran, and he found a big log, like a tree, a branch of a tree, Godwin. He picked it, he ran, and people were trying to stop him. He was pushing a bit, and he lifted it. the guy fell. And when he fell, he could, as if he was gone, but he didn't die. He was unconscious. Is that what? Oh, me, I'm going to tell you something, a story about me. Before I got transformed, when people are fighting, I'm driving, I can stop the car and watch. Baby, you can ask Mrs. Nigwe. I can be driving Mr. T. I will stop the fight. He said, male. It's the guy in me. Forgive me. It's a guy in me. So today I've transferred the love for bouts watching boxing. I watch boxing a lot. And UFC. I love it. Hallelujah. So what the scripture is teaching us that as a result of the heart, naturally, when you have not given your life to Christ, these are the things that you see at play in your heart. He said the heart is deceitful above all things and is what? Extremely sick. That's what it means. Let's look at New King James Version. He said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know him? No, New Living Translation. No. You let's go to the AMP. But what there was a translation of the extremely sick. We said that incurable is a sickness that cannot be cured. That's what he's saying. That the heart, you know, is a sick. Jesus. Well, that's what it means. Incurable. It's an incurable sickness. Naturally, that's the heart. That's the heart of man.
Listen, I like how you're looking at the scripture.
That's what it means. It means that naturally, if you don't give your life to Christ, your heart cannot be cured. That's what the scripture is teaching us. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9. I think verse 3. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. This also shows us how our lives is if we have not surrendered it to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. That one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are what? It's full of evil. Naturally, it's full of evil. And I want to show you something. Even before I show you something, let's read the scripture. He said what? That one thing that happens, truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in the what? It's in their hearts. Seke is in their hearts. And we're not talking about Seke as he's walking aimlessly. Well, Seke believe. Naturally, it's in the heart of men. Oh, full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And what? And after that, they go to the dead. If we don't have Christ, that naturally, that's how the state of our heart is. But I want us to look at a different perspective for us who are representatives of the kingdom of God. And I want us to look at the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Let's look at 5 and then we come to 6. 5 and 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Let's look at it in AMP. These words which I am commanding you today shall be what? Written on your heart. Meaning that your heart is a canvas. It's like a paper. And what the scripture is teaching us here today is that as a result of the coming of the word to us, it is what? It is being written on the canvas of our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. This scripture also teaches us that our hearts, it can be written on. It must be written on. So as it's being written on in our hearts, it will begin to see the direct reflection of how our lives must be as representatives of the kingdom of God. It says, well, do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Bind them securely around the neck. And what? Write them where? On the tablets of your heart. So what the scripture is teaching is that as a result of the coming of the word to us, it is being written on our hearts, written on the tablets of our hearts. I think it's in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Let's go there. 7, 2 to 3. We are going somewhere. Look at your neighbor and say, we are going somewhere. And scripture says what? Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings and laws as the apple of my eye. 3. Bind them securely on your fingers. And where? Write them on the tablets of your heart. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Hallelujah. I believe this thing is so important that we write the the instructions, the things of the commandment, the things that God loves on the tablets of our hearts, so that we can truly pass it on to our children or to the next generation. The reason why a lot of children are growing who don't love God is because the children don't the parents don't have it written in their hearts. So I believe strongly that we, representatives of the kingdom, have a huge responsibility to be intentional about making sure that the commandments that he gives to us are what written on the tablet. Let's look at it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. It says something very peculiar there. This week, when I noticed that, look, hey, this thing, naturally, I'm not supposed to be upset. If someone is giving me feedback, it means that I must go back to the drawing board and make sure that I do what I'm supposed to do just so that he is pleased. But naturally, I was getting upset. And that must not be so. You shall teach them diligently where to your children. So as it being written on your heart, then the instruction is that you must teach them diligently to your children. If it's not written in your heart, we cannot teach them. We'll just be showing them cartoons, but there will be no form of teaching that gets to them, because it's not written in our hearts, people of God. It's not written in our hearts. It's not written in our hearts. So I want us to look at this. So naturally, based on the things that we have heard, naturally, this is the heart of an unbeliever. Okay? Have we seen that? It's scribbled. It's so disorganized. In it, there is backbiting, there is anger, there's hatred, there's unforgiveness, there's stealing, insults, envy, jealousy, pain, all of it. All the things that we know in scripture about the things that we must not become. This is the heart of an unbeliever. Hallelujah. This is the heart of an unbeliever. And the scripture is teaching us that as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured in our hearts, as a result of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, love automatically gets into our hearts. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, such hope in God's promise never disappoints us, because God's love has been what? Abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Now, that's what they actually mean. That as a result of our union and relationship with the Holy Spirit, our hearts begin to become transformed, or is full of love as a result of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that actually means that once we give our life to Christ, we too have a responsibility to truly walk as love. Hallelujah. He said, what? Such is this. God is in God's promise, never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts as a result of the Holy Spirit. As a result of the Holy Spirit, the love of God is being poured abundantly in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So I began to ask myself then, how is it that I can truly love? And I noticed that it is easier for me to love when I'm surrendered to the Holy Spirit. When I surrender to the Holy Spirit, it's easy for me to love, to truly love the way he would require me to love. And let's look at the scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit with you. And this scripture is teaching us that as a result of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is what will happen. That the heart that looks like this will be transformed in the heart that looks like this. And the heart that looks like this, full of envy, full of strife, full of unbelief. List them. We know them. Plenty are plenty, and we know them. That heart of will be taken away, and a new spirit will be put within us. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and what? Give you a heart of flesh. And that's what the scripture is teaching us, that as a result of our relationship with God, this is what will be written on the canvas of our hearts. The writings of love on the canvas of our hearts by the fear of God. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 22 from verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 from verse 37. So based on these things that we have heard, I've been asking myself that, Father, how can I truly love? What does this mean for me to love? And I'm purposely breaking it down. Basics is on purpose. Basics. What does it mean for me to truly love the way that he required me to love? The scripture here is teaching us Matthew 22:37. And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. 38. This is the first and the greatest commandment. 9. The second is what? It's like it. You shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or the higher good for others. And this brings my mind to a story. I was watching Kojo Sheldon, and there is this beef that he was interviewing a certain guy who has a beef, an issue with another guy. I think he was interviewing Quabbles. He's a guy called Quabbles. He has a dance group called DWP. Okay, and in the dance group, he started it with a certain guy. And when he started the thing with the guy said that, no, Quabbles was saying that for him, he noticed that he didn't want to progress because he was from a wealthy home. Things were happening well in his life. But the person he had there, who joined him, who became his partner, was struggling. So he was willing to forsake everything that he had to make sure that the person also succeeds. He was an influencer, so he had to stop the things that he used to do just so that the person who is his friend, who is struggling in life, can also be pushed and brought into the limelight, so it can also enjoy life. And when I read this scripture, that's what came to my mind. He said, that is unselfishly seeking the best or the higher good for others. These are the things that shows us that we truly love. When we are unselfishly seeking the best or the higher good for other people. Seeking the best or the higher good for other people. And this must be reflected in our lives. The second is like this. Number one, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your spirit. That's the greatest commandment. And the Bible teaches that the second is what? Is this? That you shall love your neighbor as yourself, in bracket. That is, unselfishly seeking the best or the higher good for others. As we are reading the scripture, I want you to begin to reflect. How, Father, show me the ways by which I can truly grow in my love for you and in my love for my neighbor. How can I truly grow in my love for you and in my love for my neighbor? And when I was doing a study, I noticed that in the Torah, there were about 613 commandments that the Israelites were supposed to follow. Some of them were important. Some of them seemed to be more important than others. But in conclusion, they emphasized that the two greatest commandments that God expected man to live by was that he loves the Lord and that he loves his neighbor. Loves the Lord and that he loves his neighbor. Hallelujah. So as we are listening to this, I want us to begin to reflect. Father, sure, and we'll go deeper into it, but reflect that, Father, how can I truly love my neighbor? When we're talking about neighbor, we're not talking about the person who lives by your house. This is not what we're talking about in scripture. We are talking about the person who is in close proximity to you. It can be your parents. It can be your sibling. It can be your wife. It can be the people that you are in the office with. It can be the people that you eat fufu with. It can be the people that you... These are the people who are classified as neighbors. When I was studying this scripture, I started to ask myself, Father, how am I truly loving all my neighbors? Hallelujah. And for me, at a certain point in my life, I almost started having a rift with my parents because of certain things. And I noticed that there were certain things that were unconsciously being done, which went wrong, which I could have held on as evidence against them to truly be offended. Because let me go there. I'll use myself as an example to teach. So there is a form of, let me say this thing diplomatically. There's a form of expectation that I had for my parents, especially with the assignment that he has given to me, in trying to do everything that I can to make sure that I'm pleasing God. As a result of that heartbeat,
Abeg, please put this. Let's put it off for this service. Eh? It's very bright. It was glory.
As a result of my relationship with my parent, I was naturally they were supposed to certain things that they must do to show that they support what I'm doing. And it got to a certain point in my life where it was not being done that way. I understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bang, 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 but you understand what I'm saying. So naturally, I had a conversation with my parents and I was telling them that this thing that is happening is affecting me. And they told me that even they know it's affecting me, but they will not change it. They will still do what they are doing, even though it's affecting me. Yeah. Joey, that's what they do. They told me that this thing I'm talking about, they will still do it. Sorry for the future, but this thing that you don't like, no, I'm sorry, I'll still do it. So when they said it, I was with my wife and we're both trying to explain, you know? But when he started singing, I said, okay, no problem. And as he was saying, what I started calculating in my mind that you'll never see me again. I won't come to this house again. You won't see me again. That's what I was telling myself. That's the voice I was hearing in my spirit. Because I'm justified. I'm justified for what I'm doing. Because what you are doing is not right. And you know what they are doing is not right. But they choose, they said they will not do it. So as I was getting up, I made up my mind that you won't see me again. You never. This is the last time I'll sit here. You won't see me again. And then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't do that. And the moment I heard the voice, Godwin, the moment I heard the voice, Michael, I stood up. And I started doing yes, sir. Because I heard it like broad daylight, like I'm seeing you. And when I got, I started doing yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I decided, Father, when I leave this house, this pain in my heart, Father, you have to work on it for me. Because the scripture is teaching me in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he said, the love of the Lord is being poured in our hearts as a result of the Holy Spirit. Love does not disappoint, but as a result of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, he said, being poured in our hearts. So I must truly be a representation of love. So when I was leaving the house, I told myself that no, I will not hold a grudge against them. Till today, they are still not doing what they should do. As they said, they are truly not doing it. As it was. So sometimes I can be there and then they'll call me feeling that like maybe I'm offended. But truly I'm not. I've forgotten. Like, I don't think about it. So we're trying to find ways by which we can consistently be going home. Even though they have not done what they said they would do. I believe strongly this is an example of love that we can all learn. Sometimes it comes in my mind that this thing they are doing, I have to show them. Joel. Sometimes it comes to my mind. And one way by way I can show them is just by being away. Sometimes it comes into my mind. But then constantly, because of the aid of the Holy Spirit, it constantly reminds me that, no, don't do that. Because truth be told, they too are the neighbors that we must love. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you have a justified issue of doing something to counter someone, please, I beg you, don't do that. In the now, in the future. I'm telling you something. Yeah, I'm telling you something. God expects us to truly look like him from the place of love. Did you read the scripture when people were spitting on him and he didn't bring down fire to burn them? I mean, he was so justified for doing that. Did you read the scripture when a spear was pierced in his side? He was so justified to call. I mean, we've seen it countless times in scripture. Did you read the scripture of the young prophet who did wrong by what God did? You see, a lot of you are not shaking your head. You see, you are not reading the thing. This one there is Kings. There was a young prophet who God had given him an instruction that do not eat. When they said don't eat, so because of that, he did what he had to do. He went to sit under a tree. And another man of God, who is a more powerful man of God, came to tell him that, hey, my boy, God said, let's go and eat. But God had told him, don't eat. He was not confident in the God he had. He was not confident in what the Bible had told him. He was not confident in the Holy Spirit speaking to him, Rachel. And so immediately he, because he was hungry already, the stomach was doing grow, 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 grow. So he started listening to the voice of the stomach and the voice of the man of God, thinking that the man of God is higher than him. So he stopped. He didn't listen to. And you see, the funny thing is that God didn't speak to him again. As he was walking, maybe God would have been reminding him, my son, this is me, my son. This. But the scripture didn't show us that. So let's go with what the scripture is saying. Let's not do any exegesis for this one. So they went to the house. When they finished eating, then the prophet, the old prophet, heard God tell him that, tell this one that I'm come to kill him. Leroy, mind busting, you know, the same guy. the same guy who told him that let's go and eat was the same guy who had God speak to him to tell him, the young prophet, that you are coming to die. He suffered the consequence, but the thing is that God spoke to him. God spoke to him. It's not fair. That one is between you and God. When you go home, go and ask him. It's not my problem. I didn't do it. And truthfully, the Bible teaches that a lion came. A lion devoured. He was sitting on his donkey, going back. The lion came. The lion killed him. When the lion killed him, the lion didn't go anywhere. He didn't kill and eat him. He killed him and stood by him. So he was standing there. The man was dead. The old young prophet was dead. The donkey was standing there. And then the Bible shows that the old prophet left, and then he came to see that the guy was dead. Yeah, then he said, this is truly gone. Hallelujah. This is the God, the one they spat on. Hallelujah. This is the one that they were spitting on. He could have killed, he could have done anything to them. He could have killed a lot. But because of the place of love that he had learned as on earth, he knew that this time I must not react, I must not respond. I understand what I'm saying, people of God. I must not react, I must not respond, because the love of the Holy Spirit had been shared in his heart abundantly. So he decided, I will not respond. I'm going to give you another story of another neighbor. Another neighbor. And this neighbor, like, they have a mutual relationship. They've grown up for many years together. They've done many things together growing up. And as they've grown up, they have a family. And they have, as a result of them having a family, I'm saying this thing politically, because they have a family, other things have been springing up. So, one of them has been doing something wrong to the other person. But the other person knows that, let's say Brother A has been doing something wrong to Brother B consistently. Consistently. Every day he's doing the wrong thing to Brother B. So, because of that, Brother B knows that Brother A would need something to eat. Okay? Brother B knows that this Brother A would need something to eat. So, because of what Brother A has been doing, he made up his mind. He said that love goes to where love is. Love is. I've been hearing that thing. He said love. It's not biblical, people of God. It's a song. It's godly wisdom. I hope it's not gospel. So, Brother B decided that because of what Brother A has been doing to me, I will not laugh. I will not. I'll punish him too. When he needs me, mashob. And he said that, and he's somebody who goes to church. I believe he believes in Jesus. But he has decided that, no, odoko, odowo. But the scripture is teaching us here that we must not live like that. What that actually means is that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and then we'll stay there. We'll end here. There are so many things I wanted to teach today, but the time is up. I just want to do what God wants me to do. The message is entering all of us our heart. It's not just, I'm telling you, this one, before I came to pray, I've been praying. You can ask my wife. When my wife asked me that, baby, what prayer topic when we came to stand there, I told her, Father, in this month of renewal of love and of the fear of God, Father, renew my love and my fear for you. I'm not coming to tell you that me too, I'm striving towards perfection. I'm looking like, I want to look like Jesus. And I want that to be the heartbeat of the church. That we constantly want to be like him. We will not forget, we won't feel pompous because of the little knowledge that we have. So brother B decided that, I mean, to because you don't love, you don't, when I need you, you don't mind me. So I'll show you. And I saw that this is not love. This brother A, let's say this brother A was doing the same thing to another brother C. This the same thing to brother C. So brother C decided that, look, even though this brother A is doing this wicked thing to me, when brother C calls brother A will not pick. When brother C texts brother A will not pick, will not respond, because brother A is angry at brother C. So everything that we do, everything to make sure that I'm in. But brother C decided that, no, I won't allow offense to grow in my heart. So what brother C decided to do was to go to brother A's house and go and apologize for what happened. I understand what I'm saying. He went to apologize to brother A when brother A is the one who is offending him. Listen, let's go to verse 7. When brother A is intentionally offended, today I told you we are going to basics. Today, this is basic all for all of us. Yeah, basic is basic for all of us. Let's go to 6. 5. And let's look at this from AMP. Of later, I'm enjoying AMP, but 4. Very good. Let's start with this AMP. He said, love endures with patience and serenity. Brother C decided that, no, this brother A, I won't allow him to be. So he goes to the house. When brother C goes to the house, brother C helps. When we go to the house, you know that brother A is angry. You're going to be helping brother A with the things that brother A must do. Oh, sweet Jesus. And this is the reflection of love. So love, he endures with patience. You know that the guy is angry with you. But you decide that, no, I will still love, because this is a requirement that God has of me. And that's the reason why we read that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, look, whether we like it or not, we will be held accountable for the things that we do. Let this be a fear in your heart. That's my number one fear, Karen. I'm telling you something. That I will stand before the master and you tell me he does not know me. Upon all this, Rachel, I want that to be your fear. Let that thing ring in your heart. That upon all this, we stand before him. Upon all this reading the Bible, upon all this giving both, upon all these presentations, upon all this school that we go to, upon all this carrying cement bag, and upon all this. And then we'll stand before him. And then he said, he didn't know us. What can you do to make sure that you are constantly blameless in the eyes of God? Let that be your heartbeat. Let that be your heartbeat, people of God. I decided that I really want to look like him. And these are the basic things that we need to remember. Let's look at the NLT. This one, let's go NLT. And we are all going to read it together. I wish that this scripture, we can write it and frame it and put it in our house. Because your neighbor will always test the love in you. Yes, my dear. Your neighbor, that they are the ones who will test the love in you. That's why you say you should love them. For example, my wife will test the love in me. My wife is my number one tester of the love in me. Yeah, I'm telling you. The neighbor, this practical, she tests me. This morning, she even tested me. This morning, she woke up in the morning. She was very excited. I was not in the mood. I was not suspended. No, I beg you. She said I was suspended, but I was honestly not suspended. I was just meditating. They must understand that sometimes there is a time that a man would want to meditate. If he's quiet, that's not Mr. T. Like, can they understand for us? Hey, Godwin, sometimes a man wants to be quiet. He wants to meditate. He wants to, innocent. Then they want to wake up in the morning, he wants to be quiet. But then somebody, they feel that there is something in there. But maybe, but me too, the men too, let's also balance it. which we are part. Sometimes we do it too much. And this is counseling for those who are not married. They have to communicate. Oh, but sometimes you communicate, but they don't hear. And that's where the love being patient is being tested. Because you're always communicating, you're not here. So when I woke up in the morning, because I was up very early. I woke up at 3 o'clock. I spent some time and I slept. I woke up again at 5. So by the time she woke up around 6:15. She was very energetic. But when me, I've been up already. I've been up. My mind is somewhere. I was just, my spirit is, and I was not suspending. This is not, I'm not that I'm proud, I'm being proudful. I was just meditating. And she would come. She's doing, and I said, baby, I beg you, this is not the time. You know, and she didn't stop. She was excited. She didn't stop. And then she'll come. She'll come and stand by me. And then she'll do something. In the car, when we're coming, then she'll, when we got to the elevator, I said, baby. You know, but I noticed that my love is being tested. So neighbor is the one who will test the love in you. So for some of you, the person you work with in close proximity at work, they are your neighbor. They'll test you. They'll test the love of God in you. You will not say that because this boss did this wrong thing to me, must surely, it's not done in the kingdom. Karen, I like how you're laughing. Whatever. That's a good laughter. You know what? That the person standing sitting by who you are working with, your neighbor, the person you live with, is doing something, then you show the person. You see that because you didn't give me food, I will not wash your dishes. Because you didn't give me food, your electricity will be wasted. I understand this practicality. This is a practicality of what God wants us to represent. And he needs these things to be written in our hearts. The thing is already there. It's just a manifestation of it. As a result of light being shed on darkness, it makes you see what is there. When this whole place is dark and you don't see the fan, that doesn't mean it's not there. When the light comes on it, then you see that, there was a fan here. It gives you vision. So the thing, it is there even though you can't see it. So the love of God is in your heart even though you can't see it. But it needs to be birthed. As you read, it gives you illumination. As you pray, it gives you illumination. It shows you that, this is the life I must live. And I'm constantly praying. Sometimes when I'm seeing that I'm becoming too some way, I go back and say, Father, kill him. Make me die. To Lord Sunday, God bless him. Kill what is left of me so that only you will be seen in me. So that wherever I stand, people will see that it's me. It's him. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is what? It's not what? Jealous. It does not boast. Pause. Let's pause on that one. When you do something and you say that, hey, Charlie, me Jimmy. Love, it does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It does not want to demand its own way. It is not irritable. It does not get... What's the meaning of irritable? This morning, my wife tested me with this thing. What's the meaning of irritable? For those who don't, understand English. Isn't it what? Irritated. So that maybe when I'm walking and then maybe I step on your leg. And I said, it was a mistake. You said, no. How can you step on my leg? I'll slap you. I'll beat you. You see? It's not irritable. It's not easily angered. Overly sensitive. You understand English. That's what Scripture is teaching us. He said, love is not... where is the irritable? I was looking at it right now. It's not irritable. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. This is what the Bible teaches us. So Brother C, can we be upstanding, please? Brother C, knowing that Brother A has truly offended him, would decide that I will not hold it against you. I'll pray it out. Because sometimes when someone does that, your natural disposition is to hold it against them. Right? I like how all we are smiling and all of us are smiling. Yeah, we all know what we've been doing. We know what we've been doing. And at a point in my life, I struggle to let things go. At a point in my life. But I'm seeing I'm growing some. It's not irritable. It keeps no record. When it says no, it means no. That's what love is. It keeps no record of wrong. I want us to go back to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. AMP, we are reading together and then we'll pray and we'll close. Our time is up. Can we all read it together, please? All of us together. Therefore, whether we are at home on earth or away from home and with him, it is our constant ambition to please him. Verse 10 is the focus. For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each one will be held responsible for what? Purpose, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. This is the criteria that we must pass in meeting him, because every single one of us will meet him, Tobias. Every single one of us. Yeah. Every single one of us will meet him. Every single one of us will meet him. I want us to pray briefly that, Father, cause your love. May I identify the love that you have poured in my heart. And may I walk in it freely. Because sometimes you receive the prompting, but you struggle to love. And for me, with the story I was given to, I struggled to understand that, look, I must humble myself and go, but I must not have this thing in my heart. Till I started doing a study on the nature of my heart, because it was causing me not to do things. Like, I didn't even want to touch the work. And I was getting upset. But I noticed that, no, I need to work on this thing in my heart. Then I started dissecting. I said, it's plenty. I know most of it is for me. But I'm teaching you what the Lord wants me to teach you. Father, teach us to truly love the way that you ought us to, you require us to love. Can we close our eyes, please, and pray this prayer? All of us, myself the more, Father, help me to love. And this month of the renewal of our love and our fear for you, Father, renew my love for you, which is being revealed in my love for my neighbor.
Thank you for listening. If you were blessed by this message, share it with someone so they can be blessed too. We look forward to fellowshipping with you next time at Zion Impact Ministries.